It's good to see you this morning, and I'm really excited for us to literally, we are going to be digging into God's word this morning. And I really believe actually that what God's put in my heart to share this morning just fits beautifully with what's already happened this morning, with just the songs we've been worshipping with, just even just the little words that have been spoken. I just really feel like, yeah, that it just all ties in really beautifully. So I'm going to kick off though with a bit of a question, okay, this morning. Old Testament or New Testament? Now, I don't know what you're like, but some of us maybe lean more towards one than the other. You know, are you a bit of a New Testament person and you just love reading the New Testament? Are you a bit of an Old Testament? So I kind of want to do a little bit of a vote. Who's a bit of an Old Testament and that's like your favourite part of the Bible? Okay. Oh, and New Testament, who's like more, oh yeah, I think slightly more. Now, I've always kind of said of myself, bit of a New Testament girl, many, many years of just even as a teenager, young person growing up, New Testament, I would read it over and over and over. Old Testament, you know, a little bit, but sometimes some of the Old Testament can be a bit tricky. Anyone with me on this one? Okay. Can be. Yeah, you're with me. That's good. Well, about lots of you will know that 4 or 5 years ago, I trained as a walk through the Bible presenter for schools. And we have, a couple of years ago, we ran the course for adults. Mine is going into schools and basically teaching the Old Testament. And over 5 lessons, we go through the whole of the Old Testament with the class, with the children. If you've done the walk through the Bible here, you will know what an amazing thing that is. Little note, they do a New Testament. So hopefully watch this space and we'll be doing a New Testament walk through the Bible as well at some point. But when I went off and did my training for the Old Testament, I absolutely loved it. Like the Old Testament just made sense. It came alive. And even now, every time I go into schools and I present the Old Testament to the kids, I just come away so excited. And it makes me read even more of the Old Testament. And it's really inspired me that I'm not really sure now which way I'd go, like probably just all of it, all of the Bible. But it's definitely inspired me in the Old Testament. And so that is where we're heading this morning. We are going to head to the Old Testament and we're going to head to the section where we read all about the kings of Israel. Okay, so I just want to give a few little bits of info, a bit of kind of getting us up to speed of where we are, just to help us this morning. So I almost want you all to imagine that all of you are Israel. Okay, you are all Israel. And in the Old Testament, I know Gareth talked about the kings and kingdoms not that long ago, and he mentioned how the people of Israel wanted a king. They saw other nations having kings. They went to Samuel, the prophet, and just said, look, we want a king. God warned the people against having a king. Not a good idea. However, as we are kind of are, the human natureness of us, Israel decided to plow ahead and they wanted a king. So the first king of Israel was Saul. After Saul came David. After David came Solomon. And then after Solomon, his reign ended not so good as he started. And after Solomon, his son, when he took over as king of Israel, he was a very harsh ruler and he was even harsher than Solomon and all about the power. And he caused a bit of disturbance among Israel. And from that point, we get a divided kingdom. So if you almost imagine here in church, this aisle down here is you're divided now. You were one nation, 12 tribes altogether, but now you are divided. And we end up with the north. So you guys here, you are the north. Sean's with me on this. I love it. Okay. You are the north and you are the south. And the north became known as Israel and the south as Judah. And we then enter into 400 years of different kings and one queen. There's one queen in there that ruled over Judah and Israel. And there's this divided kingdom. They fought against each other. And over that time, there were 39 rulers across Israel and Judah. And of those 39, there was one queen. And then the 38, the rest were all kings. And out of those 39, there were only 8 that were any good. Poof. It's not so good, is it? Only 8 were any good. And do you know, so this side, who are you? Can you remember? Israel, well done. Over here you are. Don't worry, I'm not going to preach like this the whole time, okay? I'm not going to go into complete teacher mode. But all of those 8 were found over here in Judah. 8 in Judah. So Israel, none of your kings were any good. Okay, shocking Israel. Judah, you had all of the 8. Does anybody know any of the names of those 8? You can just shout them out. Hezekiah, what was that? Josiah. Not David. David has already been. He was the best king of all. They're the ones that, you know, they're the ones that I came up with as well. I had to Google to find out the rest of the 8 because I was like, I don't know. No. We've got, any more guesses before I read them out? Okay, so we've got, apologies if I can't read these. You know what it's like with the Bible. There's so many names here. So we've got Asa, Jehoshaphat, Joash, Amaziah, Uzziah, Jotham, Hezekiah, and Josiah. So those are our 8 good kings. And this morning, I want us to focus in on one of those good kings, which is Hezekiah. And Hezekiah became king after Ahaz. And Ahaz was one of the bad kings. And quite often in the Bible, the bad kings are described as that they did evil in the sight of the Lord, or they did not do what was pleasing to the Lord. And Hezekiah, he became king at 25, and he is recorded as doing what was pleasing in the Lord's sight, just as his ancestor David did. So this is Hezekiah. Hezekiah did loads of incredible things. He reopened the temple. He cleansed the temple. He brought back the celebration of Passover into the nation, and they were celebrating Passover again. He took down idols and all the shrines and the altars. He destroyed the bronze serpent, which some of you remember Ellis preached on back in the summer. Great words there, all about that. I'm not going to talk about it now. Go back and listen to Ellis because it was a great word that he brought. So this is Hezekiah, and in 2 Chronicles, right at the end of chapter 31, it describes Hezekiah as someone that sought God wholeheartedly. That's pretty awesome, isn't it? Isn't that a great thing to be... For the Bible to say about him, he sought God wholeheartedly. So we today are going to pick up after that in 2 Chronicles. Now, I forgot to say anything, John. I don't know whether you're frantically finding it. If you're able to bring it up, 2 Chronicles, chapter 32. This is where we're going to look at today. And it is going to be a bit of an unpacking this morning, this chapter. And this little event, I say little, actually, it was a pretty major event that happened in the reign of King Hezekiah. And I'm just going to read verse 1 of chapter 32 in 2 Chronicles. It says here, after Hezekiah had faithfully carried out this work, King Sennacherib of Assyria invaded Judah. Now, before I read any more, King Sennacherib of Assyria, at this time of the king's ruling in Judah and in Israel, Assyria was a mighty empire that was growing and growing and growing. They were a cruel nation, they were a fierce nation, and they were going around conquering nation after nation after nation. I want us just to understand a little bit. I'm not going to go into loads. So you might be sat there knowing even more than I'm going to say. That's great. Go away, find out about Assyria, the Assyrian Empire. Do you know the capital of Assyria is Nineveh, which you would find in Jonah? So for those of you that don't know, so years before Hezekiah, Jonah was sent to Nineveh for the capital of Assyria. So the Assyrians, their empire is growing at this time. They are quite a mighty force around the time of King Hezekiah. Now, when King Hezekiah became king of Judah, it was at the time of a king in Israel called Hoshea. So Hoshea, he had been in reign for maybe 3 years by the time King Hezekiah came along and ruled Israel. Assyria came and attacked Israel. At this time, there was a king of Assyria called King Shalmaneser. Great names, aren't they? King Shalmaneser. They came and they attacked Israel. And by the 9th year of Hoshea's reign, Israel, you were destroyed. You had fallen to the Assyrians. So you guys have been wiped out, I'm afraid. Okay. Now, if I do walk through the Bible, we'll do a whole thing of like scattering, that they were scattered, but I'm not going to make you all scatter everywhere. It's okay. So what we need to remember here is that Hezekiah, as he's reigning, has seen Israel fall, has seen Israel be attacked and destroyed by the biggest nation, this nation and this empire that is pretty undefeated, basically. And I just think that's really important that we understand this as we look at the passage we're going to look at here. So when Israel are destroyed, it's maybe 8-9 years later that we get to this point we're reading in 2 Chronicles. So about 8-9 years after Israel had been destroyed, basically it's a new king, King Sennacherib. He comes after you guys, okay? He's coming to Judah. He's coming to capture and to make Judah fall. So we're going to then continue reading. And what I'm going to do is, it's quite a long passage, I'm going to split it into just three sections this morning. And we're just going to take a section at a time of this story and just take a little look at what it is saying to us. So 2 Chronicles, we're going to read verses 1 to 8. It says this: after Hezekiah had faithfully carried out his work, King Sennacherib of Assyria invaded Judah. He laid siege to the fortified towns, giving orders for his army to break through their walls. When Hezekiah realized that Sennacherib also intended to attack Jerusalem, he consulted with his officials and military advisors, and they decided to stop the flow of the springs outside the city. They organized a huge work crew to stop the flow of the springs, cutting off the brook that ran through the fields. For they said, "Why should the kings of Assyria come here and find plenty of water?" Then Hezekiah worked hard at repairing all the broken sections of the wall, erecting towers and constructing a second wall outside the first. He also reinforced the supporting terraces in the city of David and manufactured large numbers of weapons and shields. He appointed military officers over the people and assembled them before him in the square at the city gate. Then Hezekiah encouraged them by saying, "Be strong and courageous. Don't be afraid or discouraged because of the king of Assyria or his mighty army, for there is a power far greater on our side. He may have a great army, but they are merely men. We have the Lord our God to help us and to fight our battles for us." Hezekiah's words greatly encouraged the people. When Hezekiah heard that this king was coming, remembering that this is the king of Assyria, he got into action, didn't he? He had a plan and he started preparing. They dug the tunnel. You may have heard of Hezekiah's tunnel. They dug a tunnel 533 meters long. I think they started like at each end and then met in the middle. He built walls. He reinforced it. He erects towers. He repairs walls. He builds another wall for the other wall. He is proper prepared. This shows us this morning, firstly, the immense of the attack that was coming. He knew this was pretty major. This was a big attack. This is serious, this threat. It also shows us the determination of Hezekiah to defend and protect Jerusalem. But you know, in the words we just read, what I love is that King Hezekiah, though he knew that their strength wasn't in the tunnel, it wasn't in the walls, it wasn't in the towers, it wasn't reliant on all of that. But didn't he say to them, "Be strong and courageous. Don't be afraid or discouraged because of the king of Assyria or his mighty army." And this is it. He says, "For there is a power far greater on our side." There is a power far greater on our side. That was the reason that they could be strong, not because of the walls, but they could be strong, they could be courageous, because God was the far greater power on their side. He goes on to say, doesn't he? He might have a great army, but they're just men. What do we have? We have God on our side. He says God is going to help us and fight our battles for us. Do you know what? I love this. I almost could imagine, I like to just kind of picture what that would be like. King Hezekiah gathering his people around him, gathering to encourage. It says that he encouraged them. gathering them, and it would have given them confidence. It would have given them strength. And you know, this morning, I want to say to you, church, the same. I want to encourage you today that there is a far greater power on your side. Thank you. Do you know what? I'm going to say it again, because I genuinely think, even if I said nothing else this morning, this is the truth. There is a far greater power on your side. Yes. You have a God on your side. You have a God that can fight your battles. You have a God that can help you. Whatever king of Assyria you might be facing, you have. Doesn't matter what they have. It doesn't matter what's coming against you. You have a far greater power on your side. Yes. I want to encourage you this morning. I want you to be strengthened by that. I want you to be filled with confidence of knowing that truth this morning. Whatever it is that you're facing, whatever battle you can see looming, God, be encouraged, be strong, be courageous, because God is there to help you. Do you know, the Bible speaks of that so much, doesn't it? That God is with us. He is with us. He said it over Moses. He said it over Joshua. That great verse, be strong and courageous. He said to Joshua, do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged. For the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. When they stood, the Israelites, at the edge of the Red Sea, what did Moses say to them? He said, don't be afraid. Just stand still and watch the Lord rescue today. The Lord himself will fight for you. Just stay calm. That's my first thing this morning. If you don't remember anything else I've said, doesn't matter if you don't remember the history bit of who's where and blah, 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 that doesn't matter. What matters this morning is that truth. There is a far greater power on your side. If you don't listen to anything else I say this morning, take that one. But I'm hoping you'll listen to the rest of it as well. Okay, we're going to read on. Hezekiah's preparing. He's encouraged his people. And let's read. We're going to read verses 9 to 19. And this is when Sennacherib comes. It says, while King Sennacherib of Assyria was still besieging the town of Lachish, he sent his officers to Jerusalem with the message for Hezekiah and all the people in the city. This is what King Sennacherib of Assyria says. What are you trusting in that makes you think you can survive my siege of Jerusalem? Hezekiah has said, the Lord our God will rescue us from the king of Assyria. Surely Hezekiah is misleading you, sentencing you to death by famine and thirst. Don't you realize that Hezekiah is the very person who destroyed all the Lord's shrines and altars? He commanded Judah and Jerusalem to worship only at the altar of the temple and to offer sacrifices on it alone. Surely you must realize what I and the other kings of Assyria before me have done to all the people of the earth. Were any of the gods of those nations able to rescue their people from my power? Which of their gods was able to rescue its people from the destructive power of my predecessors? What makes you think that your God can rescue you from me? Don't let Hezekiah deceive you. Don't let him fool you like this. I say it again, no god of any nation or kingdom has ever yet been able to rescue his people from me or my ancestors. How much less will your God rescue you from my power? And Sennacherib's officers further mocked the Lord God and his servant Hezekiah, heaping insult upon insult. The king also sent letters scorning the Lord, the God of Israel. He wrote, just as the gods of all the other nations failed to rescue their people from my power, so the God of Hezekiah will also fail. The Assyrian officials who brought the letters shouted this in Hebrew to the people gathered on the walls of the city, trying to terrify them so it would be easier to capture the city. These officers talked about the God of Jerusalem as though he were one of the pagan gods made by human hands. We're going to stop there. Do you know, when I read this a couple of weeks ago, I just thought, wow. Do you know, so often in the Bible, we read of battles, that physical attack. What that was no physical attack. That was a verbal attack. God, sometimes words can actually dig and hurt deeper, can't they? Do you know what? I think what we've just read is horrific. King Sennacherib, in this speech, he tries to shake the trust of God. He tries to destroy their trust in God. Because he says, doesn't he, what are you trusting that makes you think? He tries to shake their trust. He tries to belittle them, make them feel insignificant. What makes you think? You could just imagine it, can't it? When someone says that, doesn't that make you just feel like you're like about this small? Oh. He tries to devalue them, make them feel insignificant. He brings doubt and discouragement, brings question into who Hezekiah was and what he did. He starts to say, doesn't he, surely Hezekiah's misleading you. Don't you realize he destroyed all the Lord's shrines? What he does here is he twists the truth. Because do you know what? Hezekiah did do that. He did destroy the shrines. But do you know what he did? He did exactly what God told him to do. And it says in the Bible that he destroyed what was called the high places. And I looked this up because I was like, well, what does that mean? Apparently, the high places were spots of individual worship which were prohibited by God's law. God's law was that they had to bring their sacrifice to one place, the temple. So Hezekiah did what God told him to do, but right here, Sennacherib is trying to twist the truth. Sennacherib is trying to bring discouragement over his obedience, question and doubt over his actions. Sennacherib makes himself seem undefeatable, unstoppable. Surely you must realize what I and the other kings have done before you. Look what we have done. That's what he's claiming. He claims power for himself. He says, no other gods have been able to defeat us. So what makes you think your God is any different? God, he's claiming himself to be more powerful than God. And in the same sense, he's then claiming God to be powerless. Whoa. He puts God on the same level as all these other gods. Now, I haven't got time, and maybe there's more to come on all of this topic. Maybe next month I'll dig a bit more into what in Israel and Judah, they were worshipping other gods, and we might look at that a bit more, but do you know, they were worshipping gods that just weren't gods. They were just idols. They were nothing. They were powerless. And he's putting God on that same level. He insults God and who he is. He tries to instill fear into the people. Do you know, his aim here is to want to demoralize them. He wants to drive them to despair. He wants them to give up. This was the whole tactic. It says there they were trying to instill fear so that it would be easier to capture the city. Poor. Tries to shake their trust in God, belittle them, bring doubt, discouragement, twist the truth, makes himself undefeatable, claims power, makes God out to be nothing. Do you know, King Sennacherib was trying to tear them away from the one thing that was making them strong. The one thing that Hezekiah, just a moment ago, had encouraged everyone to say, this is our strength. Our strength is that there is a power far greater on our side. And Sennacherib here was trying to tear them away from the one thing that was truly making them strong. And this morning, I want to ask you, does this sound familiar? Does this sound familiar? I wonder if we were to do a vote here, how many of us have had moments where your trust has been shaken? Do you know this morning the enemy works in just this way? The enemy. Do you know what I love actually this morning? That the words that have been spoken just time beautifully. Sarah brought that verse where Jesus said, I have come to give life and life to the full. What did Jesus say before that? The thief's purpose is to come to steal, kill, and destroy. The enemy will do all he can to want to tear you away from the one thing that will make you strong. Have you experienced that? Yes, thank you. I have. And you know, I'm going to be honest that as I was preparing this, I was like, God, can I really talk about this? I'm going to be honest with you, church. Can I really stand here and say, do you know what? We're in a battle. You will get spiritual attack as a Christian. Do you know that's a fact? It says it in the Bible. We are in a spiritual battle. And you know, as I've prepared this, I've kind of battled myself. Like, what can I say? What can I not say? Do you know what? I doubt that there's anyone here that's ever had, that's not had a moment where you have been discouraged, where something's come along, that you've had a King Sennacherib that's come along and tried to tear you down. Twisted truth. Proven undefeatable. Trying to prove themselves undefeatable. The enemy will want to taunt us, deceive us, drive us to despair so that we would want to give up. Do you know, we see it in the Garden of Eden, don't we? Didn't the serpent come along to Eve and say, did God really say that? Jesus himself was tempted by Satan coming along. Look, I could give you all this if you were just to bow down to me. Do you know, we are in a spiritual battle. And we will face, and you might even be sat here today feeling like you are currently facing an attack like King Sennacherib right now. And so this morning, whether that is you or not, I want us to really know that there is a power far greater on your side. There is a power far greater on your side. Paul in Ephesians talks so much more about this spiritual battle. I haven't got time to pick this apart, and I'd say, do you know what? Go away and read Ephesians 6, because what does he say? He says, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on all of God's armor so that you will be able to stand firm against all strategies of the devil. We've just read the strategies of the devil. These are the strategies, what we've just seen Sennacherib do. We are not fighting against flesh and blood enemies, but against evil rulers and authorities of the unseen world, against mighty powers in this dark world, and against evil spirits in the heavenly places. There is a spiritual battle. Do you know what? I don't fully understand it. I'm going to say that. Quite, thank you, Sean. But what I do know is that what the Bible says is true, and I know there's a battle, and I know that I felt those moments of that spiritual attack where there is a battle. So don't worry if you're sat there going, but I don't understand it. Do you know what? You don't have to understand it. You just have to know that there is a spiritual battle. But that's the thing, is there's a but always. Jesus came to give life and life to the full. Paul goes on to write, therefore, put on God's armor. Put on his armor. Put on the armor of God to stand against your king of Assyria, whatever that might be. Put on the armor of God so that you can stand against the enemy when he comes to attack. Do you know what I love when we read the armor of God? I'm not going to say much more on it. I want you to go away and read it yourself. But I love that actually there's only one weapon, isn't there? There's only one bit of weapon. Everything else is the armor, the defensive. The one weapon is the sword of the Spirit. The one weapon is this. This is our weapon when we fight in the battle. So do you know what? Read it. Read it. Even if you're there going, yeah, but I'm not in the battle right now. Do you know what? Prepare yourself for the battle. Prepare yourself. Read it. Read it. So that when the enemy comes along and says, well, who do you think you are? You go, I'm a child of God. That's who I am. When the enemy comes along and says, really, I'm just going to twist a little bit of the truth here. I'm going to make you question and doubt God. You can go, I know who my God is. I know who my God is. There is a power far greater on our side. There is a power. Do you want us to read the last section of this passage that we're in? I've lost my place now, though. Let me just find it. 2 Chronicles 32. We're just going to read the last section together. So King Sennacherib has come, delivered his attack. Let's read what happens next. Verses 20 to 23 says this. Then King Hezekiah and the prophet Isaiah, son of Amos, cried out in prayer to God in heaven. And the Lord sent an angel who destroyed the Assyrian army with all its commanders and officers. So Sennacherib was forced to return home in disgrace to his own land. And when he entered the temple of his God, call this is something next, some of his own sons killed him there with a sword. Ooh. And then it goes on, that is how the Lord rescued Hezekiah and the people of Jerusalem from King Sennacherib of Assyria and from all the others who threatened them. Wow. That is a wow. Do you remember we said at the beginning? Assyria was this nation that was taking nation after nation after nation in its empire. They had taken Israel. Oh, but God... Do you know what I love in this story? It says that he sent an angel. I kind of quite like that. One angel. He could have sent a whole army of angels. He didn't need a whole army though. This is God. One angel destroyed them. One angel destroyed them. King Hezekiah, they didn't have to physically fight at all. Do you know, if you want to read more, this is something where I've spent the last couple of weeks is reading chapters and chapters. I'm literally taking this one chapter, but you can find all of this account in Isaiah, which we're going to look at in a minute as well. You can find it in 2 Kings as well. You can find a bit more detail on that. Go away and just read a bit more about this. Because, do you know, when I was looking it up and finding some commentaries, it put this on the level of the miracle of, like, the parting of the sea. This is a miracle here. God came and brought down the nation, the Assyrian Empire, that were claiming themselves undefeatable and unstoppable. But you know, I want to pick out two little things here about what Hezekiah does. It says to us that King Hezekiah and Isaiah cried out in prayer to God in heaven. King Hezekiah and Isaiah together. King Hezekiah and Isaiah turned to God. If you've got your Bibles, sorry, we're jumping about again. We're going to go to Isaiah, where, again, I said you can find so much more of this. But Isaiah chapter 37, I want us to have a look at what it says here about King Hezekiah and Isaiah. Right at chapter 37, verses 1 to 4, says this. When King Hezekiah heard their report, so this is all about the attack, the verbal attack, the letters, the insult. He tore his clothes and put on burlap and went into the temple of the Lord. And he sent Eliakim, the palace administrator, Shebna, the court secretary, and the leading priest, all dressed in burlap, to the prophet Isaiah, son of Amos. This is the message, okay? This is the bit I want us... I love this. They told him. This is the message to Isaiah. This is what King Hezekiah says. Today is a day of trouble, insults and disgrace. It is like when a child is ready to be born, but the mother has no strength to deliver the baby. Those of us that have given birth, this is how he's feeling. He hasn't got the strength in him. But perhaps the Lord your God has heard the Assyrian chief of staff sent by the king to defy the living God and will punish him for his words. Oh, pray for those of us who are left. Hezekiah goes to Isaiah with this message going, Isaiah, it has been a rubbish day. Today is awful. And I, at the point, there is no strength left within me. Pray for us. He found Isaiah. Said, come on, get alongside me. Be on your knees with me. Cry out to God and pray for us. My message to you this morning is when you are facing a king of Assyria, when you are in a battle, when you are in a spiritual battle, find your Isaiah. Do you know this is so important? Find that person that you can go to and you can say, today is a rubbish day. I have had insult upon insult. I feel like I have no strength left. Pray for me. Do you know this is so important? And I often feel like we say time and time again in church, don't we? You know, we do life together, we do life together, we do life together. And sometimes you think, oh, we keep saying it, keep saying it. People might switch off. Do you know what? We say it all the time because it matters. It matters. And when we're fighting a spiritual battle, when we're fighting an attack from the enemy, there is strength in finding your Isaiah to say, come and stand with me. I haven't got the strength. Pray. Do you know, I'm personally realizing more and more the importance of this. I'm starting to realize the people that I will message going, I need you just to pray. We need to find our Isaiahs. Find your Isaiah and ask them to pray. One final thing that Hezekiah does. I'm going to jump in chapter 37 of Isaiah. I'm nearly at the end, I promise you. Verse 14, it says this. After Hezekiah received the letter from the messengers and read it, he went up to the Lord's temple and spread it out before the Lord. And Hezekiah prayed this prayer. I'm going to read this as well. He prayed this prayer. O Lord of heaven's armies, God of Israel, you are enthroned between the mighty cherubim. You alone are God of all the kingdoms of the earth. You alone created the heavens and the earth. You know, I'm not going to talk too much. I feel like there's a million things I could just keep saying right now. But, God, isn't that quite beautiful, his words? He's having a rubbish day. We've explored that. We've seen the extent. But he's there going, oh, God, you are enthroned. God, you alone are the God of everything. He's declaring who God is in amidst this battle. And I love this next bit. Bend down, O Lord, and listen. Open your eyes, O Lord, and see. Listen to Sennacherib's words of defiance against the living God. It is true, Lord, that the kings of Assyria have destroyed all these nations. He's going, yeah, God, look. Look what they have done. And they have thrown the gods of these nations into the fire and burned them. But of course, the Syrians could destroy them. They were not gods at all. I love that. They were only idols of wood and stone shaped by human hands. Now, O Lord, our God, rescue us from his power. Then all the kingdoms of the earth will know that you alone, O Lord, oh God, I haven't got time to unpick that prayer. I think there's some really beautiful parts in that that we can almost take as our own prayers. But the thing I want us to just note here is before he prayed, it says that he got this letter and he went to the temple and he spread it out before the Lord. He spread it out before the Lord. Now, do you know, I don't know. This is where I'm not so good. I don't think they would have had paper. I'm not sure what the letters would have come on. Might have even been stone. Who knows? But I just love this picture here that King Hezekiah has received this attack from King Sennacherib. And he's literally got the letter in his hand. And I just love this picture here. Sorry, I'm moving about the cameras. But I love this picture here. There he goes up to the temple of the Lord, and he just spreads it all out. I can't really do this very well with just one hand. Hold on. It's like literally, I kind of wanted to do like a little, you know, you just throw it out. He's literally just going. It's almost like, there it is, God. That's the attack. He has spread it out. He has laid out before God the battle, the king of Assyria, everything he's saying. I don't know about you, but I find that really powerful as I've been reading this week. And God has said, that's what we're to do. Whatever it is that you're facing, whatever battle it is, whatever storm it is, whatever attack might be you coming right now, come and just lay it all out. Spread it before God. Just literally go, there it all is. And do you know what I'm going to say is that I think for some of us, that's really hard. Because we almost want to go, well, I'll give you that, but I'm just going to keep that. I'm going to hold this a little bit close. For some of us, it's really hard, especially when something has come along that's maybe hurt deep. And it's hard for us to lay it all out before God. I don't fully know why, maybe out of fear, shame, guilt, not knowing, oh gosh, but if I lay it all out before God, what if? I don't know what it is, but I just right now want to encourage you. Do you know what? Let's be like Hezekiah and go, do you know what? Let's not hold it close, but let's just lay it all out and go, there you go, God, have it. Have it. And then go down on our knees and pray. With my Isaiah next to me. That's our invitation this morning. Spread it out. Lay it all out there. Say, God, this is my king of Assyria right now. I love that even Hezekiah is just there going, oh, come on, God, come and listen to me. Come and see it. And he does, doesn't he? He does. He does. Because he is God. He is God. Oh, a power far greater than anything. Whatever you are facing, whatever attack is coming your way, God is far greater than that. We've got to be strong in that. And you know what? A bit like even Sarah was saying earlier about, you know, declaring he is good. We might not always feel it. That's okay. Do you know what? That's life. Cool. None of us can feel it every day, but we've just got to hold on to the truth of the knowledge of that. There is a power far greater, whatever it is, that is shaking your trust, trying to deceive you, trying to tear you away from God. Whatever battle, storm, whatever spiritual battle you might be in, this morning, know that there is a power far greater on your side. Know that the Lord will come and help and fight your battles. Find your Isaiah. Spread it all out on the table. Spread it all out before God. Do you know, I'm going to ask the band, maybe Heidi and the band can come up, because we're going to allow a bit of time to just, I know I've said a lot. But we want time to allow it to sink in. And you know, for some of you, you might just be going, okay, yeah, that's good. But you might be going, I'm not facing any battles. I haven't got a king in Assyria. Do you know what? That's okay. But don't then put to one side what I've said this morning. Because the battles come. The storms come. The enemy will come to try and tear you away. It happens. So be ready. Put on your armor. In a moment, we're going to sing this great song, Battle Belongs to the Lord. And I've chosen this song as a response because it talks about in the chorus, and when I fight, where am I going to fight from? On my knees is what it says. When I fight, I'm going to fight on my knees. I imagine that was Hezekiah. And I almost imagine that it wasn't just him on his knees, but Sarah, maybe you could just come and just kneel next to me, because he got his Isaiah. and said, Isaiah, it's been rubbish. This day has been awful. Pray with me. Pray with me. Be on your knees for us. When you are facing a battle, this is what you've got to be doing. This is what you need to be doing. Find your Isaiah. Do you know what? I even almost want to say to you, after church today, when we go and have tea and coffee, yeah, have a nice chat with someone, but God, just go and find someone that you know and go, hey, do you know what? Can you be my Isaiah? They'll know exactly what you're talking about, because if they've been listening. We've got to do it. You don't have to have everyone. You don't need to ask the whole church. That's okay. You just need one, at least one. Start with one. One person that you know that you can tell them is rubbish. This is a battle. Fight on your knees with me. Lay it before the God, whatever it is. Just go, there you go, God, have it. Have it. This is what it is. Do you know what it says in this song, the words, and I will lay, I think it says something like, lay my fear at your feet. Whatever it is, you're laying it at his feet. Laying it at his feet. Do you know, as we sing this song, just before we sing, I want to just pray. And do you know what I want to say is, if right now you're going, oh yeah, this is me right now, will you just respond? And when I say respond, this isn't respond for me, this is respond to God, okay? It's an expression of our faith. It's an act of us going, God, yeah, I'm hearing you, God. So you might want to put your hand up. You might want to get on your knees if you can. You might want to just hold your hands out. But I just right now, and I just want to pray, and then we're going to sing. But God, I just want to invite you, church. If right now you're going, yeah, I'm facing a king of Assyria. I'm facing a battle. I need to hold on to the strength that there is a power far greater than this. Just reach out right now where you are. Be that, lift up your hands. Get on your knees. But let's just respond now. Father God, I just want to pray over us as a church. Father God, I pray for each one of us sat here. Oh God, whatever battles are being faced right now, whatever king of Assyria have come along and attacked and tried to destroy, God, I declare in this place that there is a power far greater that is our God. Our God is far greater than anything. And Father God, I pray right now, like Hezekiah said, come and listen, come and help, come and rescue. God, will you come and help? Will you fight the battles that are being faced right now, Father God? Will you come and rescue your children that you love? Oh, God, will you come and fight their battles? God, I pray that we will be encouraged, that we will be strengthened of knowing that, God, you are on our side. Oh, there is a power far greater. Father God, I pray that you will just help us to find our Isaiahs and that you will help us to be fighting these battles on our knees and calling out to you. God, we acknowledge you for who you are. Oh, beautiful, awesome God, who created this world, who knows us and loves us. We give you honor and glory for who you are this morning. Maybe right where you are, you might want to declare yourself, there is a power far greater on my side. You might want to say those words. There is a power far greater on my side. We're going to sing this song and just allow it to continue to just speak.